Book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 14. Job 14:14 says this, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Job asked the question. It is not only a good question, it is the question for us, for those of us that take life seriously. First of all, there's the question of death to us. Listen to this. There's a preacher of the old school, but he speaks as boldly as ever. He is not popular, though the world is his parish, and he travels every part of the globe and speaks in every language. He visits the poor, calls upon the rich, preaches to people of every religion and no religion, and the matter of his sermon is always the same. He is an eloquent preacher, often stirring feelings which no other preacher could, and bringing tears to eyes that never weep. His arguments none are able to refute, nor is there any heart that has remained unmoved by the force of his appeals. He shatters life with his message. Most people hate him. Everyone fears him. His name is death. Every tombstone is his pulpit, every newspaper his text, and someday every one of you will be his sermon. Thomas Gray wrote this, "The paths of glory lead but to the grave." But ladies and gentlemen, Paul said this, "Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." There's no question about death this morning. Shall he live again? There's no question about that either. Christ's own words are these, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Between Job 14 and Job 19, God revealed the truth of the resurrection. God revealed the truth of Easter to Job. So Job chapter 19. And let's begin reading in verse 25. Job 19, verse 25. Please listen. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and he will. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Now I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter in Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." I want to give you the Easter story in just four words. The first is an invitation, the word come. With most invitations, there are reasons not to accept. There were for these ladies to which this was spoken of. First of all, no one wants to go to a graveyard at dark. Every time when I was a kid, we'd pass a graveyard and it was dark, I thought how foreboding that was. Nobody wants to go to a graveyard at dark. Second of all, Rome had placed a guard there, and the Romans hated the Jews, and pretty much vice versa. Third, there had been a terrible earthquake, apocalyptic in nature. Still, the invitation was to come, and they did. There are many wonderful invitations given in Scripture. God spoke to Noah and said, come thou and all thy house into the ark. And then God shut the door. It shut them into safety and it shut judgment out. Ark is a beautiful type of salvation. Once we are saved without any fear of judgment after that. Psalm 46 in verse 8 says this, come, behold the works of the Lord. If you will do that, ladies and gentlemen, it will change your life. When you go to the Grand Canyon and you understand that the creator of this universe simply with his finger scooped out the Grand Canyon, you go to Crater Lake and you see how he piled high the Cascade Mountains and he made Crater Lake there in that caldera of Mount Mazama. You will see that. When you go to Yosemite and you see the giant redwoods, it will do something for your soul that the creator of this universe did that. And so David said, come, behold the works of the Lord. It will change your life. Psalms, Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When you are saved, you are washed, you are cleansed, you are made in the likeness of God's Son. Isaiah 55 and verse 3 says this, incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come unto me, God says. In Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, the Bible says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Come unto me, Jesus says. And then your Bible closes with this invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you're here this morning and you have never been saved, come to Christ today. If you are saved, come closer than you have ever been. The world needs that today. The second word is see. See the place where the Lord lay. How can we profit by that? First of all, it speaks of the Lord's condescension to this earth, the incarnation. He was willing to come. He was God with all the implied honor and majesty and resplendent beauty around the throne. Angels simply saying over and over, "Holy, holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty." And he was willing to leave that and come down to this dusty old earth and be despised and rejected of men and be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He did that because he loves us so much. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 5. Paul, thank you for writing this. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What kind of a mind did Christ Jesus have? "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Second of all, we see the horror of our sin. In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14, the Bible says, "His visage was so marred more than any man." It started in Gethsemane when he would pray to his Father and say, "Oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And as he grappled with what was going to be required of him on the cross, the Bible says he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. He was under so much pressure that the capillaries in his forehead began to rupture. And he bled blood in Gethsemane. And then he was taken by the soldiers, and they blindfolded him, and they beat him with their fists. And then the blindfold was taken off, and each of the men that would have hit him would raise their fist and say, "Was it me?" That's after he became a bloody mess by the soldiers. And then a professional lictor, a professional scourger, would have lifted him just inches off the ground. And the reason for that is so that he could take his whip that had been embedded with sharp objects, glass and iron and things like that. And then he began to scourge the Lord from the top of his head. And because he was suspended off the ground just 6 inches or so, the bottoms of his feet would be lacerated as well, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. There would not have been a square inch of his body that was not broken. And then he was crucified. A four-man execution squad would have been assigned to him. They were both brutal and they were efficient. And he hung on the cross for us. Third, it reminds us of our own destiny with death. Here's what the Bible says. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and we will lay in the grave unless someone is bigger than death, unless someone has conquered death, unless someone has the keys to death and the grave. And thank God, ladies and gentlemen, that is the message of Easter to us. The third word, of course, is go. We have work to do. Don't linger there, ladies. There's work to do. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. The Lord has just spoken to his disciples. And then he said this. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. There's work to do, he tells these disciples. You need to go. The next time our Lord spake, he spake to Paul. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And let's begin reading in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And for the rest of Paul's life, he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And last of all, there is the word tell. If we have come and we have seen that the tomb is empty, and if we are commissioned to go, it is inevitable that we have a message to tell all whom we meet. We are commissioned to let other people know what has changed our life. And you know what I've found out through the years? What we are excited about, we love to tell. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says this. But sanctify, that is set apart. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You be ready always to share the sweetest story that's ever been told, that God loves us and Jesus died for us and the Holy Spirit wants to be our best friend and our guide in life. That's the sweet story of salvation. Now let's end in Acts chapter 17. Back to Acts. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Just like this morning, some will mock, others will say, you know what, I'll hear again of this matter. And others will say, I believe what Jesus said in his word. God help us to believe what God says about his son. Let's pray. Father, how very thankful we are for the fact that you raised your son from the dead. We understand that Jesus died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. And Father, that has changed our life completely. And we are so thankful that when we say goodbye to a loved one, it is not forever. It is simply until the next time that we will meet. because of the resurrection. Oh, Father, I pray that you might speak to hearts this morning. If someone's here and not saved, that they might understand the truth of the resurrection and that they might be saved today. Father, thank you for the cross. Jesus, thank you for your willingness to go and save our souls. Bless this time. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.